coming to you live from the red carpet of the Survivor Edge of Extinction finale. It's Rob Has a Podcast, and wow, this was not the ending of the season that was prophesized. That it looked like for a couple of weeks, Rick Devens looked like things were trending in his direction, but no, it was somebody from the original Manu tribe who went to the Edge of Extinction who wins this game, and it was Chris Underwood. We are going to have reactions from the final six here tonight after a really shocking show. Hope you checked out Stephen Fishback and Hannah Shapiro on the Survivor Know-It-Alls as well. I'll also be live with Stephen Fishback on Thursday on FanCred. We're going to turn that into a podcast if you want to take questions, and we'll also have Josh Wigler on the Survivor Feedback Show. But let's get to talking to the final six, starting with our winner, Chris Underwood. All right, Eric, we're here with the winner of Survivor, The Edge of Extinction. And to me, this was the most unlikely win in the history of the show. I did not see this coming. Here he is. It's Chris Underwood.
Shocker.
He did it for Monica.
I did it for Monica. Monica's proud. Wherever Monica is in the world, she's happy.
Oh, my God. Chris, that everybody came into tonight. Oh, it's Devens. And then here you came. And then the first time I said, hey, wait, hold on a second. I saw you with the Edge of Extinction people, and I saw this suit. And I said, boy, Chris is dressed really well here tonight.
You didn't think War Dog was dressed as equally nice?
No.
I don't know what Tommy.
I said, hold on. Chris and Ron Clark. Ron Clark, I think he wears a suit every day. Chris is dressed really well. I wonder if he's the Edge of Extinction person. Did not think that you would win.
I had an uphill battle for sure. It's still surprising. It's still a shock. There were a lot of good players on this season. We can both agree this was a hard, aggressive season. A lot of big moves. A lot of people got sent to the jury because of those moves. So I knew going into it, I had to impress some people if I was going to earn their vote.
It was such a surprise that we didn't see a ton of you on the show. You laid low on social media. You were laying in the weeds. And then here you come on finale night and have like the biggest episode that anybody's ever had.
Well, you know, they worked really hard. Jeff and Matt worked really hard on this being a total shock to everyone. So I knew it was part of my role to lay super low, not engage a ton. My wife and I are just sitting on the couch watching every episode, just saying, you know, hey, you'll get your shot. You'll get your shot. It'll come. So we're here. We did it. We made it. It's all over. I can't believe it. It's come and gone.
When you talked to Lauren about playing the immunity idol, did Kelly actually say anything to you about that Lauren needs to make a big move with her idol? I know that that Kelly leaked that Lauren had the idol. Did you make up that part about that she needs to do something with it?
Yeah, we spent, and I will say, you know, I did spend time on the Edge of Extinction with Kelly. So all the secrets, you know, all the things, whoever was getting back in the game had information. But I knew that Lauren needed to create a resume for herself that was larger than Rick, and it was bigger than Victoria. How was that going to happen? She was going to have to play her idol. Now, I had already known that Rick's idol is real when I had that conversation with her. So at that point, it was planting seeds to have her use it for me, because if she played it incorrectly and I was the cause of that, it would boost my resume and diminish hers. I had to do it.
Let's talk about you going into making the fire making challenge. I know that you guys had seen Ghost Island right before you left. How much was Dominic's decision in your head when you went out there?
I mean, not only Dominic's decision, but Ghost Island. I mean, we can agree Ghost Island, there was passive gameplay. Our season was hyper-aggressive gameplay, and people that were really good got voted out because they were taking big swings early on. The ultimate thing that was, I guess, I don't know, like the only thing that could have happened was for someone to to win at Fire, I knew that I had to take the necklace off. I knew I had to win Final Four Immunity. I knew I had to take my necklace off, and I knew I had to beat the top competitor. And so it was direct correlation to Dom's inability to do that. I was like, all right, if someone, whoever wins, they've got to earn it. They've got to earn it big time.
So when Devin's played the idol on Gavin at the Final Five, that seemed like that was a shock to you and not a surprise that you necessarily liked. Did that play into your factor of then not taking Devin's to the Final Three?
Surprisingly enough, it actually didn't. We talked earlier that day about who the idol would be played for. We felt like Gavin would be a better person than Lauren to bring, into that Final Three, Final Four for either of us.
Yeah.
And so that was the decision we both talked about, and then he gave it to Gavin. Sort of it. Some of it was was show for the jury, keeping them on their toes. It was a fun try, but we knew that four idols are going to be played that night, so the fireworks were going off. And so I told him I was gonna play my idol last that night.
Were you surprised to get the votes at the Final Tribal Council, being a person who was voted out of the game?
Going into Final Tribal, I was proud of the game I played.
Yeah.
I couldn't have played a better game. There was no other possible outcome than what transpired when I got back in. And so I had to effectively, relay that to the jury. I did not know what was going to happen that night. When everyone raised their hand saying, I do not know who I'm going to cast my vote for, it was 100% true. Like, we didn't know who was going to win. But towards the end, I started to feel the tide start to shift once I break down how exactly, I was playing. It definitely paid off.
I want to ask you a question that I had written for Rick Devins this afternoon, okay? How can you help people who are averse to somebody getting voted out winning the game? How can you help those people process this news?
I think as a student of the game, the only way to process it is to know that no matter how much you think you know, you really don't know much at all. And Survivor is going to throw twists because they don't want to have someone come in and think they know exactly what the perfect game is. Mm-hmm. I mean, what a long shot for me. I thought I was going to play a perfect game, and I had no idea that this twist would completely affect the entire season. That's the beauty of Survivor. It continues to reinvent itself. You have to understand that. You got to be adaptable. You got to evolve. So I took that for what it was worth.
You did get hosed on your first, your one and only vote out of the game.
Yeah.
That you really got set up there for the fall.
Yes, I definitely did. As far as the narrative standpoint goes, like it had to follow a storyline. The Devins and Davids vote against me was the real blind side. I know they had Wardog where I told Wardog the plan. The reality is that the plan, me talking with Wardog was, hey, the option may be Kelly, it may be, I don't know yet. We had that conversation a day before we lost the immunity challenge. Mm-hmm. He, at that point, saw in his head, hey, Chris has plans. Like, he's thinking about the game, and I didn't think he was thinking. And Rick and David, with that conversation with David and I, David was acting pretty good because they had already been planning on voting against me and trying to flush Kelly's idol. So when I got voted, I was shocked. I was like, why would they do that? And then surprisingly enough, they played from the bottom for the rest of their times in the game. So it a tale of two cities.
What was that term you threw out at the Final Tribal Council? A reverse negative?
Yeah.
And is that fair to call this, when we get to the Evolution Strategy chapter, with chapter 38, part 4, should this chapter be called the reverse negative?
Yeah, the negative reverse. Negative reverse. Yeah. There was an element of manipulation at the end of the day. I had to play to her naivety, I guess. Like, I needed to be way less okay. I needed her to be my savior, and I needed to play a kind of a dog. Like, I was like, I'm your vote. You got to use me. So I played a little bit to her ego, just because I knew she needed something big to happen, and I knew that I had to kind of orchestrate that if it was possible.
Chris, congratulations on your recent marriage.
Thank you. Thank you. 3 weeks. I mean, this is a lot for the month of April, May, for sure.
You've got a lot going on. And your lucky wife is married to the winner of Survivor.
She's a rock star. It was pretty emotional tonight. Hugging her, and she was crying, and I mean, she'd be a killer Survivor player. Talk about someone who's she's awesome. We're really excited for the next season of life, and I'm taking it easy after this. We're still in honeymoon phase, so we're gonna enjoy this season together for sure.
Was there any vote that you got that you were surprised that you did get?
You know, this cast is, they're huge fans, so I haven't been able to really talk to them about who voted for who. I think the people that I felt I was surprised most by were maybe probably Ron, Wardog, you know, I don't even know if Eric or not voted for me. It's still coming out slowly, but the people that were, you know, the super strategic side, right? Like, you can't win the game if you win immunities. You can't win the game if you play idols. You have to be strategic. Those players, if I earned their respect, then that was that was awesome.
Well, Chris, congratulations on the unlikeliest of wins. It was so exciting, though,
shocking,
to be here. The audience was totally into it by the end of the night.
That's what you call a cliffhanger. That's a cliffhanger right there.
Well, they love excitement. But, Chris, thank you so much. I hope that we have a chance to talk about everything and hear about the Edge of Extinction and all this stuff down the road.
We'll break it down. I'm excited to give some takes with you.
Looking forward to it. All right. Your winner, Chris Underwood. Chris, congratulations.
Thanks, Rob.
We are here with our runner-up from Survivor: The Edge of Extinction, Gavin Whitson. Gavin, how are you?
I'm doing okay. I'd rather you say winner of Survivor: Edge of Extinction, but you know, runner-up, still proud.
Hey, you got right there. Jeff Probst said that was not a bad showing.
No, it's not a bad showing, but being a Survivor super fan, you've played Survivor. You don't play for second place. You come to win the title. So, you know, I've still got a little hunger in my belly, got a fire there, but that's just part of it, you know. I still stand by everything that I did.
Do you feel like that your game was misunderstood by the jury, or they didn't know a lot about what you had done out there in the game? Because I think that you were involved in a lot of these big flips that happened.
Yeah, I was involved in a lot, and I'm not sure if it was a mistake on my end not actually being vocal about the moves I made, and that, you know, it could have been a double-edged sword because I was quiet at tribal councils. That was also because I see all these people who are loud in tribals. They're public enemy number one next. It was Wardog. It was Rick. All these people who dominate in tribal councils, I realized that, hey, we need them out next. So that was part of my strategy. It didn't pay off. But, yeah, I think I was underestimated in the game.
Was there anything that you could have done differently that was going to change the outcome tonight?
100%. I stick by every decision I made. I don't think anything that I could have done would have changed the outcome. I think the only thing that would have made me the winner is if I would have been able to make fire. I think otherwise people are voting for Chris because the way they feel about Chris, people are voting for me because the way they feel about me. So, you know, if in another world I could have made fire, maybe I'd have $1 million in my pocket.
Now, I don't want to put words in your mouth, Gavin, but it looked like to me, watching that final tribal council, you seemed a little bit annoyed that there was an Edge of Extinction twist and that here was somebody who got voted out very early on in the game, was not in the game, where you were there for 39 days, didn't get voted for, and it seemed like that the fact that this was even an option seemed like it was a little unpalatable.
Yeah, it did rub me the wrong way, and in no way, shape, or form is that towards Survivor. I love Survivor so much. Like, this has meant the world to me, but the game I played was not meant for Edge of Extinction. I came out here to play a classic game of Survivor. I survived 39 days, didn't have a single vote against me, and that's what I intended to do before the game started. So, yeah, Edge of Extinction worked for Chris. It didn't work for me, and you can't plan for themes. So I'm proud of the way I played. I didn't want to get voted out to go to Edge of Extinction. That's not a strategy in my mind, you know, so, yeah.
One of the bigger moves that you made that didn't really get talked about a lot after the fact was when you guys voted out Eric. And that really did change things up, because that really did break up Kama after that point. What do you make as Joe Anglum has walked in with a short haircut as we're talking here with Gavin. We'll get to Joe later on. But what was Eric's reaction when you finally caught up with him?
So the first time I caught up with Eric at Ponderosa, I could tell he was still disappointed. And whenever I started talking to these people, I could tell there was still a little bit of hurt or animosity or whatever it was. You know, I thought, you know, I might be in trouble. You know, I finally come to realization. But with Eric, you know, like the day after we hugged it out, we're super close now. I love Eric. Eric's one of the greatest human beings on this planet. But the thing with Eric that wasn't shown on TV is I had a similar conversation that it showed Julia have. You know, I came up to Eric, and I was like, Eric, it's time to make a move. I was like, we're going to have 7. We're going to outweigh this majority of 12. I said it was going to be me, him, Victoria, and Julia with War Dog, Kelly, and Lauren. I said, we can get us 7. Then once we get to the 7, that's us 4, the comma 4, in a majority. So I was like, that's final 4. But, you know, he was skeptical about it. He wanted to keep David and Devins around. And that's what set off an alarm in my head, because I thought, if push comes to shove, David and Devins are going to side with Eric, Ron, and Julie. So, you know, I made a decision, and I still stick with it, because it got me to day 39.
One of the things that we talked about during these last couple episodes was, you know, Devins is making the big show at Tribal Council. Hey, let's vote out Aurora tonight, everybody. You guys had already agreed to that plan beforehand.
Yes.
Did you feel like that you wish that you could have let the jury know, hey, Devins has nothing to do with what we're doing tonight?
Looking back at it now, if I could change one thing, I would make sure people were aware of the moves that we were making instead of what it looked like someone else is doing. But the other thing is, you know, part of my strategy, even though it didn't pay off for me, is I wanted to be silent in tribals. I didn't want the target put on my back, because if you're a huge president to tribal councils, you're next off the block. Just ask War Dog and David and all these guys, you know, they're great at tribals. And I'm thinking, we got to get them out next. They're going to out-talk me at final tribal council. You know, so like, that was part of my strategy that probably didn't work out. But yeah, there was stuff like that might have looked like someone else made the decision whenever the decision had already been made.
Now, Gavin, we all know you pushed your wedding up to go and play Survivor. Was your wife unhappy that you didn't win the game?
I know she's not unhappy. I haven't been able to talk to her yet. But that's,
so she might be unhappy.
I'll tell you right now, that's not my wife. I know she's got a big hug waiting on me, and she couldn't be more proud of me. She told me that before tonight, you know, and like I told Jeff tonight, like, I knew before going into Final Tribal Council, I knew leaving Final Tribal Council, I was a winner, because I knew she's going to be waiting on me at the airport. It's like, you know, I love her so much. You know, I'm very lucky.
You're a very lucky guy. Gavin has a pineapple shirt here tonight. It's a little more subdued than... What is your connection to pineapples?
Before Survivor, I had no connection to pineapples, but I thought, if I'm going to Fiji, you know, I need to dress like I'm going on vacation. That might be another way people underestimate me, you know? Who's this idiot wearing the pineapple shirt, you know? So... you know, once the show started seeing on Twitter, people aren't calling me Gavin. They're saying Pineapple Boy, Pineapple Guy. I was like, okay.
I get that.
If that's what they want, you know, then that's what I'm going to do. I've got on the pineapple socks.
Oh, wow.
You know, it's like it just became a way of life, and I'm embracing it. But, yeah.
Were you surprised, Victoria, your ride or die in the game, she didn't vote for you in the Final Tribal Council?
See, and I still, thank you for telling me that, you know, because I still haven't seen who voted for who. But that is very surprising, because I could have swore she said she was voting for me going into the vote. So that is surprising. But
well, I'll ask her about it.
Yeah, ask her about it. But I'll talk to her about it also. But there's no feelings of animosity or anger towards anyone. It's a game. The game's over. But yeah, I mean, stuff like that, that's what stings, is because had the roles been switched, I would have voted for Victoria. Victoria had my vote, because I knew the game she was playing. She knew the game I was playing. I mean, that does. It hurts a little, but it's part of it.
I know it's a long time in between from when you guys film until now. Did you think at all over this almost year since you guys played that maybe you had the votes in the Final Tribal Council?
before Final Tribal Council, I was 100% confident. I thought I had it won, and then once I went into Tribal Council, I kind of read the room, and I realized, hey, some of these people aren't feeling me, and, you know, but that's just part of it, and I would still, like, no matter what, like, I even remember on my honeymoon, which is the worst time to be thinking about Survivor, I was on my honeymoon thinking, you know, they probably voted for me. Turns out they didn't, you know, but, like, it does. It's hard, like, but something I got to live with now.
All right, Gavin, I know you got to run, but great job. That I'd love to hear more about your game down the road.
I would love to be a part of Rob Has a Podcast. Anytime you need me, I'm there.
All right, cool. Gavin, thank you so much. Congratulations. All right, everybody, we're here with our third place finisher on the season. We have that in common.
Oh, yes, we do.
Julie is here. Julie, how are you doing after tonight?
I'm doing well. The whole experience for me was incredible, and no matter how I placed, you know, I made it 39 days, and I'm just, like, so grateful to have had this experience.
Did you think that you had it tonight at all? Like, I don't know.
No. I mean, I feel like I was very realistic about my game. And going into the final tribal, I kind of knew how things were going to go. So I did my best. I argued as much as I could. But I'm not surprised, you know, by the votes.
It seemed like at various points tonight, Rick Devins talked about how, hey, I did a lot for Julie and she didn't ever repay the favor. Did you feel like that was the case? Do you feel like that Rick was making something out of nothing?
I mean, I can't say it's one or the other. I feel like I was the one that, like, really pushed to keep Rick in the game during the merge. I made that connection with him right at the feast, and for all we know, he wouldn't have been around if it wasn't for me. So I did do that. But in terms of our relationship, we have a great relationship, but it got to a certain point. You saw the jury reacting to him every time he walked into tribal. There's no way that I wanted to sit next to him in the final three. So it's, you know, I did what I had to do.
It felt like that the jury was trying to find out what was your biggest move in the game. And you talked about that tribal council where Julia ended up going home. Did you have a lot to do with War Dog going home in that vote? Because for me, watching it seemed like you did.
But yes, absolutely. It wasn't just the Julia vote. But, you know, there were other players that I was in on the vote for. And that I really did sit there with Lauren in our spa reward and say, like, I think we need to get out War Dog. Like, I was pushing hard for that. And he ended up going home. So, like, there are moves that I made, but I'm not going to take 100% credit. Like, we all did it together, but I pushed my agenda hard.
Can you talk a little bit about your reaction to finding out that Chris was going to go into that Final Four fire making after it was a day of practice with you two, seemingly?
I mean, I kind of knew the whole day. There's no way Chris is putting me into the fire making challenge to guarantee that somebody knocks out Rick. So I knew he was going to give up the necklace. And when he did it, it's like, I always want to just, like, take the necklace and, like, chuck it in the fire, because it's like, I wanted to earn my spot there. I didn't want it to be given to me, but it is what it is. And Chris did the thing that he should have done.
Because, correct me if I'm wrong, you really worked hard on the fire making.
I did. So Chris told,
like, before the game.
Yes. Oh, before the game. Absolutely. I ordered, like, a mini machete and flint from Amazon, and I worked hard for, like, the month before I knew I was going. I was trying to make fire every day, and I did. I absolutely made fire, and I'm proud of it, and I feel like I could have done it that night too.
Congratulations on your immunity at the final six, putting that puzzle together. Was that similar to what you do with making all those toys, putting those wooden blocks together?
You know, it's not the same. That puzzle was a lot more intense than anything that I've created and sold on my Etsy shop. So, but the fact that I do work with wood and I do work with puzzles, I do think it gave me a leg up in that challenge.
How frustrating was it for you, if at all, at all of those votes where Devins, no matter what, had immunity time after time after time?
Extremely frustrating. I mean, look, I love the guy. I would have been rooting for the guy if I wasn't still in the game sitting there. So, you know, but it's like, it's idol after idol after immunity win, and, you know, and advantages being sent to him. So it's hard. It was a hard thing to have to sit and watch, knowing how the jury felt about him, and they were so, like, outspoken and vocal about it, that I knew we were in trouble.
Did you feel like that you had moves that were in the game that we didn't get to see in the TV show?
You know, there's so much that you don't get to see. I feel like Survivor shows a sliver of what our experience is out there. And just from day one, like, I spent a lot of time building relationships that unfortunately never got shown because Kama never went to tribal council. So day one, Eric, Ron, and I, immediate alliance. We said we're the older ones. We have to protect each other. We then formed a group with Gavin, Victoria, and Julia, and we called ourselves the Kama Six for all that time that we were together, and I was building one relationship after the other, but it never really got shown.
Do you feel like that had Kama stayed together, stayed Kama strong throughout this whole thing, that this might have changed the result, or no matter what, that Chris is coming back into the game and there's nothing you can do about it?
You know, I do think things would have been very different, but who's to say? Like, it's such an unknown. I mean, we decided right after the merge to vote out Joe, so that kind of broke Kama. And then I was shocked when Eric obviously got voted out. So that just set things into effect that I'm sure the game would have played very differently if Kama had stayed together.
Julia, I was counting the votes in my head, and I would have bet anything you got Ron Clark's vote in this final tribal council.
I would have bet the same thing, Rob, but...
What happened?
It's fine. You know, Ron and I have a great relationship, and I think that he probably knew, based on, you know, being at Ponderosa, you know, how the jurors talk, that I wasn't going to get many, if any, votes. So instead of throwing his vote to me to be nice, I think he wanted to influence the game. So he voted, I don't know who he voted for, but he voted for who he thought should win.
Okay, Julia, well, I know you got to do a ton of interviews tonight, so very nice to chat with you. Hope to see your very handsome husband somewhere around here.
People have thought he was you since he's been here.
Well, I need to see him.
Mom in the hotel said, hey, are you Rob? And he just started cracking up. He was like, no, but I know who you know who you are. So it was hysterical.
All right, Julia, all the best, okay?
Thank you. Thank you. Bye. Bye. Nice meeting you.
I'm Josh Wiggler here with Rob Cesternino. Welcome to the Wiggle Room.
Dun, 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 dun. What happened?
Dude, you got that.
Am I dreaming?
Lame, Chris.
I don't know if this story was told from the perspective of the players that were out there, but to almost a person who's got this, Rick Devins. And I think this was the surprise of all surprises, and not a pleasant one for you. Your pleasant surprise came later.
Yes. Thank you, Sia.
But all my questions that I wrote for you were about winning this afternoon.
Can we do those anyway? Like, yeah. I would love. No one's going to ask those questions, yeah. Rob.
No. Oh my God. Rick, but congratulations. What a game. What a journey for you.
I've been looking forward to this, by the way. I'm very excited about
it. Me too.
It was fun. I feel like, the edit wasn't very... give me some time to tell my story. But other than that, it's been a
great... You were unhappy with your airtime.
Isn't everybody? I mean... I think we saw enough of the rest. Like, I had a lot of funny things they didn't show, Rob. Okay. No, it was awesome, man.
Jeff made a lot about the... did you consider not giving that half of the idol back to Chris? I mean, is that even a real move that you can do in the game?
Like, not give it back?
Like, what were you going to do, throw it in the ocean?
I mean, it did cross my mind. And what I would have done is say, hey, you know, let's do what David and I did, and I'll give it to you at Tribal to be a big thing. And that way, instead of going all day telling him I'm not going to do it, it would just be like very painful 30 seconds of me not giving it to him. But the truth is, I just couldn't do it, man. He was so broken down when I saw him on the edge of extinction the first time. I literally couldn't do it to him again. Even though in hindsight, I know he'd have been fine and I should have done it and I'd have $1 million.
It's crazy. You did get $100,000 from Sia. Sorry, Big Wendy.
Gosh, dude. I know. I want everyone to know that those three chickens were alive and well, and I was on Team Huey, Louie, and Dewey. But yeah, Sia, my new favorite person in the whole world. Sorry, Josh Wiggler.
Sorry about that. You were a vote for Chris, or you were a vote for Gavin?
I voted for Gavin. I did.
Okay. How do you, if I may ask, of all people, not vote for the Edge of Extinction person?
You know, because I was on the Edge of Extinction, and then I was in the entire post-merge, basically, I love Chris. Whoever wins should always win. But it is harder to be in the game than Edge of Extinction. The Edge of Extinction is really boring, but when I was on Edge of Extinction, I'd wander off and have a four-hour nap. When I was in the game, I would never dream of wandering off for a four-hour nap. That's how I played it. Gavin went through the whole game without getting a vote. I'm impressed by that.
That was an impressive feat. Was it close for you?
Yeah, it was close. Because Chris came in, and he did work, and he took me out. And I'll say it was close. I was not thinking Julie going into the final tribal, and Julie was so good in final that I really considered giving her a vote. But being in the game so hard, and being on the edge is hard on you. So I had to give it to the people that were in the game the whole time.
Were you worried about any blowback from the people that you hid the fake idols from? At the point that you've already found the real idol, did you consider picking them back up?
I did. I actually, when we got back from the challenge and I had won, I'm talking with Gavin about how I'm going to play it. And I told Chris, go get the idol that I hid that Julie found. Go get it. And it was too late. Yeah. And we were like, okay, that noise we heard was her finding it. And at that point, I was like, you know what? I'm all in. I mean, sure, it's villainous when Ron does it. But when I give you a fake advantage to play, that's just fun.
Could you sense when you were out there, like it seemed like on the TV show, that the jury was really eating up your antics at the tribal councils?
I absolutely sensed that they were really enjoying it. And it almost wasn't strategic to put on the show. You probably know a little something about being a class clown. Like, when they're eating it up, you want to give them more. And it's kind of what it was. At first, it was like, man, these guys are really kind of screwing me because they're making it so obvious. But once I just became that threat, it's like, well, let's buy into it. Let's go for it.
Were some of the things you did at Tribal Council, were those premeditated or are they sort of coming out in the moment?
Most of them were, well, it's hard. The Julia thing was in the moment. That was looking around that tribal and being like, man, those three Lesu are as nervous as I am, and Julian Ron are as nervous. Like, everyone's out of the loop. But the others, the Ron speech, you are a villain.
Except
that and the oh yeah at the very beginning are the only two canned things I had the whole time. I rehearsed that speech in my mind all night because I figured that thing was fake. And then, of course, I thought about the Julia. I'm going to play this on Julia, even though you won't give me credit for that. Which I think you're right. I don't think it was me. Yeah. But I thought it was me out there. I've learned.
So did Aurora. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Reverse psychology.
Yeah.
I'll explain why she said that. She was right. It was a little mixed up the way it all went down.
Can you settle something for us from the merge of the season? When you came back from the Edge of Extinction, did you want to work with the Lesu people, or were they dead to you from the jump?
They were not dead to me at all. I thought that the Lesu people would be excited to see me, to welcome me back, because not only did I leave on good terms, but I said at the tribal was cut out, I said, Lauren, Kelly, I intentionally left my sweater for you at camp so that you guys will be warm, even though you voted me out. So I'm thinking, they're going to love me coming back. And that's why I got so hurt, and I'm not going to say emotional, War Dog, but emotional about them coming after me the way they did, which, you know, it is what it is. But yeah, I wanted to get back with them.
Rick, could you give us a report from the field on your experience tonight? Can I hand over the mic?
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Let me watch a pro.
Dun, 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 dun. I'm Rick Devens here live at the Survivor finale, where the big winner tonight is Rick Devens. Sia came to the rescue. I think some other things happened, but you know what? We've talked about Rick mostly all season. Let's just stick to it now, Rob.
Well, that's a great setup for the... You were such a polarizing character. There were people, I love Rick Devens, greatest thing ever, and there were people, I'm so tired of Rick Devens. I don't want to see him anymore. It's not fair. He finds all the idols. Get him off my TV screen. How do you reconcile that?
I was like a pretty nice guy, wasn't I?
I thought so.
There was a lot of vitriol for me. I don't know. I don't know what people wanted me to do. I guess they wanted me to win my way back in and go up to Jeff and just kind of like hand him my buff back and say, hey, for the integrity of the game, I'm not doing this and I'm not going to search for it. But no, man, I was there to play as hard as I could. I'm very surprised that I was polarizing. I wasn't in charge of the edit. If I was, I would have said more Rick Devens. but I had so much fun. It was a blast.
And Okay, I know you got to run. I would love to talk.
No, I'm staying here.
I'd love to get into everything from your game when you have time.
Yeah.
Down the road. But Rick, it is a pleasure.
Rob, I've been looking so forward to this. Tell your son Josh says hi.
I will. Josh Wiggler says hi from the Survivor finale.
There you go.
Before we get back to the exit interviews from the red carpet, I want to, in honor of Gavin, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor for the final six interviews, and those are our friends over at Dole. Who doesn't love a tasty smoothie in the morning? Problem is, it's easy to get stuck on autopilot making the same smoothies every day, and even the best smoothies can get boring and predictable. So why not mix things up a little with frozen Dole crafted smoothie blend? They do all the hard work for you, pairing only the most delicious fruits together into unique blends, like taking a typical banana and berry smoothie and mixing it up with mangoes and refreshing limes and kiwis, or you could treat yourself to a sip of paradise with the strawberry watermelon blend with delicious coconut. And the best part, they're born to be blended. Each bag is perfectly proportioned with fruit that's frozen to lock in all those nutrients and flavor. And every piece is already washed and cut. So all you have to do is fill up your blender with one of the single serving bags, add some coconut water, and then blend for an exciting smoothie. Dole crafted smoothie blends. Find them in your frozen aisle. Now, let's get back to the interviews. All right, everybody. We are here with Lauren. Lauren, how are you?
I'm great. Yeah, I'm doing okay.
Lauren, I have to say that we saw a lot of you tonight. I was starting to think that maybe you had a shot at this thing.
I was starting to think that too, huh?
Can you talk through the Chris Idol business and going into that final five vote when you ultimately went out, if you had where things went wrong with you and Chris?
Yeah. So first of all, when you're playing Survivor, you're only playing with the information that you have. You know, I had no idea what was going on Edge. I had no idea where this idol was coming from with Chris. I didn't know he had one. You know, Rick comes into the game and he's not giving us real information. So how am I supposed to know Chris has an idol? And so the only thing I knew is I can't sit at the end with Victoria. And to get Victoria out, I thought that the majority of the votes were going to go on Chris, because Victoria, as you saw, had told Gavin that she was going to vote for him. And I didn't know if Rick was going to vote for Chris, because no way Rick wants to sit at the end with Chris, who could beat him at Fire, you know? So I assume two votes are going on Chris. I need Victoria out. I have to play my idol for Chris. So that was my thought process for that. And then going into Final Five, you see, I don't have an idol. There are now three people that are immune. I had no chance. You know, I was going home unless I won immunity at that immunity challenge, and I didn't. And so going into Tribal, I didn't know it, but I was a dead woman walking.
I know you're not mad at Kelly, but that did you say to her, what were you thinking? Why'd you tell everybody about my idol?
That's so funny. I've been asked that so many times. And the thing is, no, I didn't. Because I don't think what people really see is that Kelly's played two other times, okay? So she is used to being voted out, going to Ponderosa, and sharing all this information with people, right? It's free information, whatever they know. And she's in this such emotional state that she gets there. And someone asks her, oh, is your idol from Manu? And she goes, no, Lauren has the Manu idol. Having no idea what that effect would have. And it didn't really have a huge effect on the game. It just led Chris to know that I had one. So no, I was never angry.
So nice.
Mad. I love Kelly. I think Kelly's one of my best friends.
So I get that. I get that.
No, I was not mad.
Now, you were a Gavin vote, correct?
I was, yes. Okay. Yes.
Was it close between Gavin and Chris?
Yes. I mean, you saw Final Tribal. They both gave compelling arguments. For me personally, I never experienced Edge. And so I didn't have that experience that those others that voted for Chris did, who felt like they experienced it with him. And so for me, I saw Gavin's game. I saw Gavin's game very closely because we were very, very tight in an alliance. And so I knew the moves he had made. I knew what he had done in the game. And so for me, I felt like his game was not better than Chris's. It was just different. And it was a game that I personally experienced that I felt good giving my vote to.
Do you feel like that you have one thing that you wish you could have done differently in terms of the game, besides the Chris Idol thing?
Yeah. I think everybody has their woulda, coulda, shoulda, shoulda done this. But the thing is, okay, let's say I don't play my Idol for Chris and I keep it. Does Rick win immunity at the Final Four? You know, you just never know. There's so many ifs. And I don't think I go back and change anything, because at the end of the day, like, I played as hard as I could. I gambled with my Idol from day three. And I did everything I possibly could to try and win this game. And it just didn't work out for me.
Lauren, can you give us, for our video viewers, an eye roll of the level of whether or not you think that Chris should have been given an Idol when he came back into the game?
Oh, dear God. Okay. All right. Ready?
That was like an 8 out of 10.
An 8?
An 8 eye roll out of 10.
Because
there's podcast people listening.
There's podcast people listening. Okay. So you asked me, should Chris be given an Idol when he comes back into the game? And my answer is... No comment.
Like a 9. Like a 9 now for that one. Okay. So I know that there was so much was made about the Lesu 3 and you and War Dog and Kelly. Did you and War Dog ever hash it out about voting out Kelly?
War Dog, I love him, but you have to be very careful with the words you choose when you talk to War Dog. And so after the Kelly vote, I knew, okay, I'm on the bottom again. So how can I work my way to the top? And so I had to go to War Dog and say, oh my gosh, War Dog, I want to work with you. Like, let's work together. Totally respect your move. That way I could then maneuver around him to try and vote him out. So I would say I gave him fake respect for the vote, and inside I was cringing because I missed my bestie Kelly.
Come back this way. They were drifting off into the next shot. But when the idols were all found at that final five, you seemed like you were suspicious about there being fake idols. How real did you feel your idol might be?
You just never know. Like, I had found an idol, so I knew what my idol looked like, but I also saw Rick play an idol that looked janky. I was like, no way that's real. You hear me say it. And so when I found it, it looked janky as well. I was like, okay, maybe. But like I said, there was no way there was going to be three live idols at five. And the only thing that I could feel to justify it was that maybe I knew Aubrey had found an idol on Kama. I knew Kelly had one. And I knew I had one. So maybe that those all got recirculated. But you just don't know. I figured I might as well try. I might as well try. Because what happens if it's real and I don't play it? You know, it didn't really have that big of effect on a vote. It was just kind of mean. But you just play it and you hope it's real. And it wasn't.
How frustrating was it for you when Devin's was immune tribal after tribal after tribal?
It's funny. I think for me, it was like, okay, Devin's is immune, but what can I do behind the scenes when everyone's focused on Devin's? Who can I get out? And you kind of see that after the Kelly vote. So, you know, Devin's is immune. Let's get out War Dog. Devin's is immune. Let's get out Ron. Devin's is immune. Let's get out Aurora. Devin's is immune. Let's get out Victoria. You know, things like that that I was trying to work on, that I think everyone was so focused on Devin's. And of course, you don't want to sit at the Final Four with him. But if you get so laser focused on one person, you lose track of all the other people you have to get out as well.
Everybody remembers the moment when you fell down in the challenge. How scary was that for you?
You know, I don't think I was scared at all. It seems like a very out-of-body experience. But for me, it was a challenge that I 100% thought I could win. And I'm not the kind of person that's ever going to quit. I have a very never-say-die attitude. And so when I got up there and I started to kind of black out, I felt like, okay, well, hopefully Aurora and Victoria drop before me. And then when I woke up and Dr. Joe was there and Jeff was there, I was just very thankful for the crew that took care of me, and I was really upset that I didn't win. And you kind of saw that on screen.
Lauren, do you feel like if you got to the final three, you had a good shot to win against anybody from this group? And if so, who did you feel like you had the best chance against?
I mean, my whole game was setting up sitting by Gavin and Julie. That's who I wanted to sit by at the end because I thought I could give the most compelling argument. But you never know. You never know who the jury is going to vote for. You don't know who they're going to respect. You don't know who they're going to like. And so as much as I would like to say, you know, if I didn't play my idol, final three, I win. You don't know. And so I'm just thankful for the experience and hope that... You know, don't get too caught up in the what-ifs.
Lauren, thank you so much. You played a really fun game. A great finale episode tonight. Okay, all the best. All right, we are here with our sixth place finisher, Victoria.
Yes, hi.
Victoria, how are you?
I'm good. That was tough to watch back, but I'm good.
Which part was tough to watch back?
It's just the frustration of the vote all over again when, like, I saw that we had to get Chris out and no one else would do it. So it's tough. I wanted to, like, yell at them all over again.
Yeah, that was a confusing vote in terms of watching it in the room. We didn't get to see who voted for who. Do you know where it was? It was three votes for Devin's, two votes for you, one vote for Chris, right?
Yeah, it was very confusing, and I honestly didn't know what happened that night, and it got explained to me after, and I couldn't understand why Devin's didn't work with me, because the plan I proposed to him, which wasn't quite fleshed out, didn't have him receiving the majority of votes. He told me he would never vote for Chris, and that we came up with a plan that the backup vote was going to be Lauren, or what we were going to vote out was Lauren, and I would vote out Chris. So it would be Chris receiving the most, then Lauren, and then whoever wasn't in on it would probably vote Rick. So that obviously didn't happen, but I couldn't understand when the votes came out who flipped on me, because I was the only one. I voted for Chris. I was the only one. And I couldn't understand what Devin's did, because Devin still received the majority of votes. I'm like, why would he want that? So he was lied to. I think they said they were going to put the majority on me, I guess.
So who put the two votes on you, Devin's and Chris?
I think so. I'm not sure who actually wrote the name down, but everyone else was involved in it.
Can they at least show us the votes on this is what happened to her. She doesn't even know who voted for her.
I can't remember. They told me at one point, but I can't remember, but everyone else was involved.
We'll go on the wiki. We'll go on Wikipedia and find out. Now, you were a vote for Chris, correct?
I did end up voting for Chris to win, yeah.
That shocked me more than any of the other votes, because I thought that you were a lock for Gavin. Was it because Gavin forgot that you were on the island for 36 days?
No. So I said, I'm going to vote for Gavin. But Gavin, you have my vote, is what I said at the end of the game. But I knew when nobody else voted for Chris that he did turn on me in some capacity. And so I was mad at him. So I said that hoping that it would put a target on him for people to think that he had an extra jury vote. And I was hoping that they would take him out of the game, thinking he had friends. That was my last-ditch effort.
Nobody should trust you.
Nobody should trust me. I said it. I'll say it again.
But do we know for sure that Gavin definitely did turn on you?
Gavin did turn on me. We've talked about it afterwards. He's still my brother. So I'm not mad. But he definitely did.
Victoria, I really wanted to talk to you after last week's episode where then you guys ended up voting out Aurora. And I was thinking that maybe once you found out that Lauren talked to Gavin and said, I'm going to do this plan whether or not Victoria's in on it, did you guys consider either staying with the votes for Julie or maybe voting out Lauren at that tribal council?
I still wanted Julie out regardless, because I understood everyone wanted her to go to the end, and that left one less spot for me. My alliance didn't feel that way at the time. So it's happened to me a couple times this season where you just have to learn when to take a back seat. Because I did push it more than it looks like I did. But they were pretty adamantly not going to be Julie. So if they wouldn't even vote Julie, which one of them was I going to get to turn on Lauren? So at that point, I felt like my hands were kind of tied. And we did decide to vote out Aurora long before Tribal Council.
Okay, that's what we figured. That's what we figured. A lot of people gave you credit this season for. You were in on all of the votes that happened this season, even the one where it was on Ron Clark, but it was part of a vote split, and you were in on that. So kudos to you for knowing where the numbers were this entire game.
Yeah, that was, I guess that's my claim to fame, aside from voting out Aubrey.
And the ski hat.
Very comfortable. People hating on it. One, Fiji's cold at night. Two, we don't have a pillow. That's all I'll say. But yeah, I guess it's just credit to, I wouldn't even say my social game, because I wasn't always in alliances with the people who like were controlling the vote. But I just always was able to find out what the true vote actually was. I always knew what the actual plan was, and I always knew what everyone who wasn't in on the actual plan thought the plan was. I guess that's where my strengths were.
How much of a disadvantage was it to have Chris come back into the game at with only a couple days left after being on the edge of extinction with the jury?
It was that was Chris coming back in the game was my biggest downfall. When he won, my initial reaction wasn't really anything because I'd never met him. I've never met Chris before. So I'm like, it's not as bad as it could be. I never hurt him, but I've never met him. Like, if Joe came back in, it would have been worse because I betrayed Joe. But as soon as I saw how people were interacting with him, as soon as I saw that Julie was feeding him, I knew he wasn't the enemy for anybody else. And that's when I knew that this was going to be the worst part of my game.
If somebody, I got the sign. We gotta wrap up with you. I'd love to get into this more at some point down the road. But Victoria, all the best to you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay, take care. All right, look who we have here. It's Ron Clark. Ron, how are you?
I'm doing awesome. Great night.
Yeah. Ron, so excited. I didn't think that we were going to get you here unless you came back from the Edge of Extinction, but I would love to talk about your game with you. You were a vote for Gavin or Chris tonight?
Chris, definitely.
Was it close for you?
Wasn't close for me at all.
Yeah. Why? What was the difference?
I was looking for somebody who played a game where they would be aggressive. Gavin wasn't aggressive. He played behind the curtain. Chris went in there and he said, I'm going to try to make big moves in the small town that I'm here. Also, don't discount the fact that even though he was on the Edge of Extinction for 28 days, he was still playing the game. He made everyone's rice, cooked up everyone's coconut, made the fire. He was trying to be a protector of all people, and those were the people who ended up voting for him. So he was still playing the game even though he was on the edge.
What was your experience like on the edge? We didn't see a lot of you on the Edge of Extinction.
It sucked. It's the worst experience of my life. I don't think people understand. I mean, not only have you been voted out, but then you have nowhere to hide from the sun, so it's hot in the day, it's freezing at night, and you have no food, and then the little bit of rice we had, there were roaches all in the rice, and so it was disgusting, and you just sit there and you wither away, and then mentally the toil that happens when you have nothing to do but lay in sand, and then people are upset with each other, the social dynamics of where that you've been placed in, it was horrible.
But you were the only person that Reem liked, that it seemed like that she was happy to have you there.
It was so weird. Like, I know I look like a villain. I'm a nice guy.
And I didn't think you were a villain.
Okay, well, I appreciate you saying that. Thank you. I was just trying to play hard because so few people get to play the game, and I really wanted to go for it and try to do big things and not be boring. I didn't want to get to the end with no blood on my hands and just be a boring goat.
I have to give you credit for something. And then in the first guess, I thought it was a mistake when you gave the advantage menu to Rick Devins. But in hindsight, I felt like that you were the one person that was at least trying to calm him down, almost like before you send the lamb to the slaughter. You don't want them to get spooked. You were the one person really trying to calm his nerves and not make him feel like he was going to go out. And then everybody else was just basically, no, you're next no matter what.
Exactly. It didn't show it, but everybody at the camp, when we would stand up, we would kind of black out a little bit. And so to walk 20 feet, it was exhausting. For some reason, Rick had this undying energy. He was running all over this island constantly for hours looking for idols. So I was trying to make him feel like, oh, I don't need to do that as much. I can relax. And then also my plan was right before he played it, I was going to say to him, Rick, we have the numbers. Don't waste it. And I hope that he wouldn't play it or play the real one that he may have had. It just didn't work out as planned.
Ron, it's not fair. The dad bod gives you a lot of extra energy over 39 days.
He had some extra to burn.
Now, I thought that you would have cast a vote for Julie in the final three tonight. Were you close to voting for her?
I wasn't close to voting for Julie. I love Julie. She gets my vote for life. So Julie and I are very tight. But in terms of gameplay, I really was trying to not go with an emotional choice. I was trying to go with a logical choice. And I felt like that Chris deserved it over Gavin or Julie for the moves that he made. I wanted to reward somebody who was willing to do big things.
When Kama first got to the merge, you were the one saying, hey, let's go after Joe here. Let's start Kama turning on each other. Do you feel like in hindsight that was still the right way to go?
It was the right way to go. The wrong move was to leave Aurora out of it because her emotions started the cracks in Kama. But we had to get Joe out. And you didn't see this on TV, but the day he was voted out, I saw him talking to Kelly and David in the woods.
Yeah.
And then he had talked to War Dog and Eric, along with Kelly and David, about forming a power alliance. So I went to Joe because I heard about it. I said, Joe, have you talked to anybody about alliance? He said, nobody. Nobody. Haven't haven't talked to anybody. What you hearing? And I was like, uh-oh, he's going to flip before I can flip. So I decided to flip on him before he had the opportunity.
When War Dog went out of the game, did you have a say in whether or not he stayed, or did you the numbers already decide that on that vote?
Honestly, I was the instigator of that. It didn't show it, but people liked keeping War Dog around because he was not that great at challenges. And so, and then people also thought they'd beat him in the final three because a lot of people weren't aware of all the things he was doing. But War Dog was constantly talking about people in a negative way. And so I decided that it was time for him to go because he was so erratic and I didn't feel like I could trust him as an alliance. So I went up to everybody and told them, here are the things War Dog's been saying about you. And I really got them so upset to the point where they decided to vote him out. It was a mistake.
Has Survivor been a positive thing for everything with your academy and your platform?
Yeah, I don't think it hurts or helps the school. You know, every week we have hundreds of teachers come to learn about helping kids. And yeah, I played Survivor hard, but really I'm a fifth grade school teacher and I love kids and I love trying to make a difference in the lives of others. And so I don't think it really has helped or hurt it in any way.
Did anybody know your name in the game?
No, I didn't even tell people my last name was Clark.
Yeah.
And no one even asked my last name. So I just went by Ron and I'm a fifth grade school teacher. And it's funny that everybody is so focused on talking about themselves that no one bothered to inquire more to find out about what I did or my school.
Ron, would you consider a second trip out to Survivor?
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to do it again. You can never, if they told me right now, will you leave on a plane? I'd say, yeah, let's do it because it's such a wonderful opportunity. I was extremely grateful that I got to do it, and I'd be happy to do it again.
Do Boston Rob or Sandra have what it takes to be a teacher at the Ron Clark Academy?
Yes, I'd hire them both instantly.
You could teach Survivor?
They could. I'll never forget, like, there's things that both of them have said I remember from past seasons that stuck with me when I was playing. They're great teachers, and I think it's going to be a great next season.
Hey, Ron, call me, okay?
All right, Ron, thank you so much. Really great to get to talk to you, and hope we can talk more down the road.
I appreciate you, Rob.
And thank you, Ron.
Everything you do.
Yeah, I get that. Thank you. Thank you so much, Ron.
Thank you.
Dude, I'm so happy. Get in this shot. Okay, we're here with the star of The Edge of Extinction, the show and the place, Reem Daly. Reem, how are you?
I'm great, thank you. You're so funny, man. Like, I first of all, I want to say thank you to all the people that make these parodies,
because
they're freaking fantastic. They are so fantastic. And I love your... I love to listen to your podcast.
You do.
So great.
Reem, thank you so much.
You're very insightful. You're funny. I love your opening song. Who wrote that jingle? That's awesome.
Which one?
Smartest guy.
Oh, yeah, the know-it-all, yeah.
I love it.
Reem, they say don't meet your heroes, so I'm a little nervous about this.
Oh, please. Give me a break.
Reem, I was thinking about this today, this afternoon, because I was hoping I'd have the chance to talk to you. Do you realize that you were the first boot on this season? I know you don't
realize that. Yes.
And you've gone on that you are the greatest first boot in the history of the show. That you've become a breakout star. You're a beloved figure. You've done so much with that. Anybody could have just shown up that first night, pulled that sail, and that would have been the end of it.
No, man, I wasn't going to pull that sail. I mean, I was pissed and I was angry and I was miserable and it sucked. Like, every single thing about it sucked, but... You know, I was on it. I didn't know anything. Like, what if you got dropped off somewhere in the freaking dark and the pouring down rain and you were pissed and everybody just basically said, I don't like you. And you were just like, why? Like, but I don't care what they thought. And I was going to, if they were going to give me a chance, I just wanted to understand what was happening, see what was going to happen next, and then freaking give them the fury, man. You know, like, if you have a, imagine having the chance to face the people that you felt screwed you over. Are you going to, like, dodge that chance?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I really feel like that you were such a well-developed character on the show, because it seemed like to me your philosophy was, if you have something that you want to say to people, don't hold it in.
Yeah.
Because that's poison.
It is. So, okay. Interesting. This is what I tell my kids. Are you going to sit around and complain about it? Or are you going to tell the person what you think and move on with your life? So why not follow the same philosophy? So when people would show up, Oh, sucks for you. By the way, blah, blah, blah. All right, we're good. I just wanted to let you know how I felt. Is there something you want to share with me? It's all good. Like, what would you rather do? Someone sit there and be fake to you all day long and snicker behind your back? No.
That would be lame.
That would be lame. Like, why would you be lame, right?
Did you ever think about, at any point, did you ever come close to raising that sale?
No, dude, I wasn't going to raise that sale. I mean, it was like, first of all, how lame would that be for my kids? My mom raised a sale. Like, no, thank you. I mean, in the beginning, I was just like, oh, let's see what Keith's, if who comes next, and I can't let him be here alone. But no, because if I raise that sale, then they won't. You know what I'm saying? No.
It seemed like that at times you and Chris had adversity, but then you voted for Chris. It seemed like that you guys had a good relationship by the end.
Listen, dude, it's like this. He is not a bad person, right? It's like we're hungry, we're tired, we got on each other's last freaking nerve.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he's a good fisherman, dude. Like, he hooked me up with some food. He taught me a lot of stuff, and I think I taught him a lot of stuff. Like, I'm 40, whatever, 8. He's 20, I don't even know, 5. There's a lot going on there in life. Like, and he is a good person. But I'm more mommy than him, you know? And he'd be like, let's just get this straight. And I'm like, don't talk to me like that. We're not going to get this straight. Like, can't talk to me like that. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But we had a lot of team conferences about how we're going to move forward. Either don't talk to me, or if you talk to me, this is how you're going to talk to me. Or whatever, but at the end of the day, proud of him, man. Hell yeah, I was going to vote for him.
Did it mean a lot to you that somebody from the Edge of Extinction won the game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? This theme is the Edge of freaking Extinction. I understand how that would seem lame to some of the other people because, like, you weren't in the game. Really? Because I didn't see you sitting your ass on that island that long, because that
right.
was a mental freaking nightmare, dude. Like, that was bad. That was so bad. You know what I'm saying? And he was, I mean, yeah, we were ready to kill each other. I'm not going to lie. And it's all good. I tell Chris that, too. Like, we were so ready to kill each other. And that one fight that you guys did see, let me just clarify. May I clarify? So I'm walking.
Because he said that you gave the advantage to Chris. You pointed it. He said you
like
pointed
it
out.
It away. Like, I'm going to sit there and give some, him and Devin's both. I know. That's why I went a little ham on yeah. them. I was pissed, dude. So this is what happened. Walk into the water. I wasn't even looking for anything. I was like, maybe it's over here somewhere. But meanwhile, I'm sweaty and I need to wash myself off. We were going to go look for a clamp.
Right.
So I walk in with Keith. And I mean, I don't have my head put together. And it was just like, dude, where's my car type of situation. I'm like, dude, what's up?
Sweet.
Problem is, I didn't touch it first. So they assumed I gave it away. So don't talk smack about me. You don't know what's up. You weren't there, dude. Like, that's not cool.
Mm-hmm.
So I was pissed. Yeah.
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 How did they not show when War Dog came to the Edge of Extinction on the show?
It's a hidden scene. It's on the CBS.
I saw it.
You know what? I was pretty lit up on him, dude. I was ready to rip it in. I was. But I promised Eric I would wait till the next day. But then he started, and he wasn't going to stop. So I was like, that's why I was like, yo, set expectations. This is going to go down tomorrow. But he wouldn't stop. So it went down that day. And then I didn't even want to let him sit on my bench, to be quite honest with you.
He had to sleep in the ocean.
You know why I said that? He said at my tribal, we were like oil and water. And I was like, why would you say that? What did I do to you, dude? Like, why are you saying that to me? So I waited. I waited whatever many days to throw that analogy back at him. And I was like, roll out, dude. I didn't want, yeah, I was pissed.
I was disappointed tonight that I had waited. I wanted to see you question the final three.
Yeah,
and
I said something, but it wasn't the biggest deal in the world. And there was so much going on that you couldn't hear. You know how it is. You were there. You can't.
Did you feel like that? Okay, well, I shouldn't ask them a bunch of questions because I wasn't there in the game so much.
I did. The question that I did ask was, tell me what you actually did to provide, or what were your survival?
Yeah.
Like, what did you do to survive at camp? Because to me, I saw what Chris did. I didn't see what they did. I had heard otherwise. What their gameplay was. Mm-hmm. I mean, I honestly, I was surprised at some of the things that came out at Tribal because I wasn't hearing that. So it was. I just wanted to listen and hear it because the other people that were in the game with them were asking the right questions. On a survival aspect, I did ask a question. It just didn't get aired, but it's all good.
Now, it seemed like tonight, Jeff Probst seems like he is a fan of yours, recognized your contributions as he should.
That's an honor, dude, right?
It's an honor. Yeah. Reem, I think that you might play Survivor again.
You going to play with me?
I would love to. I would love to. It would be a dream.
Well, I haven't gotten a call, but I'm not a fool. You know what I'm saying? If my family and my job backed it up, I would totally do it again. Yeah.
Reem, down the road, when you have time, I want to hear the whole story of the Edge of Extinction. I want to hear about every day.
Dude, there was a lot that went down. We killed a shark.
No doubt.
I was like killing it in chess.
Yeah.
I am a chess master.
Yes.
That's a big thing to say. David Wright is actually chess master. There was a lot that went down, man. I wish there was a way that you all could see it, but there was also a lot going on in the game. And that's
I'm around all summer, Reem.
Really? Am I allowed to talk to you?
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, who do we have to ask? I mean, we'll clear it.
If you clear it, I would love to talk to you. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll make it happen, Reem. Can I have a hug?
I love that you have. You know what's funny, dude? I got to tell you this.
Yeah.
So you have those little people.
Oh yeah,
I have a big person that my buddy made for me.
Yeah.
Scares the shit out of me all the time. It's like in random parts of my house. I love that you have that. Now let's hear your impersonation because we need to tighten it up.
You know what, dude? That can I just say that, you know, Chris, he's a good guy. He's not a douche like Wardog.
No, Wardog's not a douche. He's actually super sensitive, dude. He's super sensitive. You know what's funny? I didn't even realize I talk like that until you brought it to my attention.
Jeff Probst said it on the show.
Any minute. It's funny. I'm honored that you even impersonated me. It's hilarious.
It was you were a joy. You were a joy to watch, Reem. Thank you so much. Reem Daly, everybody.
Thank you.
We are here with the new look, Joe Anglum.
Look. What up, brother?
And Sierra Dawn Thomas.
Yes, hello.
And Joe, on the advice of Jeff Probst, has cut off his own hair here tonight. And Joe, is this all just to go back on Survivor? Because I think they were going to call you back no matter what.
Come back? No, you know, it was actually kind of just crazy surreal. Like, Jeff kind of put me on the spot, and I was, like, thinking about it. I'm like, man, maybe there's something to this that I've been missing all this time. Like, what if this is what's holding me back? What if it literally is my hair holding me back? So, I don't know. We just, like, bantered a little bit. Yeah. But after the fact, Sia essentially offered, she offered to give us some money for our wedding. Oh. And I just for charity. And I was just like, no, you know what? Like, as much as, like, let's donate it to charity. Yeah. I'll donate my hair to a really...
Sia, it must offer. Be doing really well right now.
I mean, she gave Devin, like, 100K.
It used to be 14K.
But what a great gift for, like, him and his family. And then, you know, an opportunity for us to, like, you know, do some good for some kids. And our really good friend just recently, she shaved her head. She's going through chemo.
Oh.
And she just was diagnosed with breast cancer. Yeah. And so even just, like, doing that for her and, you know, just supporting that cause. Like, we just want to help
Sarah,
out.
What a nice guy you found.
I do not deserve him. I was just telling him that I love him for a million reasons. I love his hair, but there's a million other reasons why I love him.
What was better, when Joe cut his hair or when Brad Culpepper shaved off that mustache?
Probably Culpepper's mustache.
What?
No, I love your hair, but come on, Culpepper's mustache, babe.
All right. I don't know how I feel about that.
And also,
I feel like this is a good, like, not a big deal, but I guess that's a bigger deal. That's fine. Whatever.
Congratulations on the engagement. Okay. Do you guys have a date set?
No pressure. Well, we're looking at venues first. Like, we've been planning and doing logistics and trying to figure out everything first. But
fall.
Okay.
Fall this year. All right, that's coming up.
I know. We're hustling. Yeah, we're working fast. So it'll be a fun summer, you know, trying to plan the wedding. But we're having a blast. We're enjoying it. We're enjoying the journey.
Let me ask you quickly about the game. You were a Chris vote tonight, correct?
I was a Chris vote. Yeah, I voted the right way. I voted. I did not know. Well, I was nervous for a minute, but I wasn't sure.
I think you're 3-0, right?
I think I was 3-0. Yeah. I think I might have. Yeah, I did.
You're perfect. Yeah, you always vote for the winner. Yeah.
I got lucky.
And so, was it close? Did you consider voting for Gavin?
You know, I really did, actually. I contemplated, is Gavin, you know, yeah, he's the last man standing, but at the same time, like, me and Chris had this kind of, you know, brotherly love out there on the edge, and if either one of us was getting back in, we had each other's vote. So I think it was more about, like, yeah, if anyone from the edge makes it back and gets back and can get to the final three through whatever means, that's pretty epic. Like, yeah. As a player that is supporting another Edge player. So.
And you were right there on the edge of extinction on that last challenge. Had you been the person to get back in, do you feel like you could have done duplicated what Chris did?
See, that's the thing, is I've had this conversation with Chris, and I don't think I could because I didn't have the same relationships that Chris had with those existing players. Uh-huh. Like, they were, I mean, I did with Gavin and Julie, but they would have, right, like, the odds are probably not in my favor. It actually probably was, like, in the end all, Chris is probably the only guy who could do that because of the situation, and I don't think I would have had those same odds.
Well, Joe, my mom was very disappointed this season. She's one of your number one fans. She does hope that you keep coming back, Joe. Oh,
thanks, Mama. No, I appreciate it. Yeah, no, you got a good boy, and I appreciate
Joe.
I appreciate your support, really, though. And you never know. Hey. We got lots of plans and lots of time, so we'll see.
Sierra, my idea for Joe, which he still has not taken, is that I think he needs to gain like 150 pounds to go back and have the Devin's dad bod,
I try.
Yeah, I think that people will be like, oh, Joe really let himself go.
Yeah, no, I agree. Trust me, I feed him. The fridge is full. I cannot put weight on this man to save my life, but. I love him skinny, fat, in between.
And aerodynamic now. Yeah, no, we're good.
Well, me
all the ways, I guess.
You guys are such a cute couple. This is so nice.
Well, we fought it for like 3 years. Everyone's like, you guys have so much chemistry. And we're like, we're just friends. No, don't put that on us. Don't put that evil on us. And now it's like the happiest thing I've ever, you know, been in my whole life. So, I mean, Survivor was awesome 3 times, but like, I'm so excited for, you know, our future. Okay. So,
all right. Well, you guys got to run, but thank you. Thank you, Joe. Sierra, great to see you. Okay.
Thank you so much.
All right. Take care. All right. Bye. All right, everybody. There you have it. We had the final six, Ron Clark, Joe and Sierra. It was a jam-packed night here on the red carpet. And I can't wait to talk to some of these guys about this really shocking outcome at the end of this wild season of Survivor. Plus, so much to talk about with Survivor 39, Boston Rob and Sandra, and the Island of Idols. So really looking forward to getting into the Survivor offseason with you. I want to, of course, thank the patrons of Rob as a Podcast who make all of this possible for me to go out here and have fun nights like this and get to capture all of this footage. So if you would like to get in on everything we're doing on our Patreon page, I greatly appreciate it. We're going to have a lot of fun this summer, of course, with our patron podcast feed and everything we have going on, all the discussions happening in our Survivor Facebook group as well. Head on over to robhasawebsite.com/patron to check that all out. So from CBS here in Studio City, I am Rob Cesternino. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre for getting the podcast up. Take care. Have a good one. And I'll talk to you with Josh Wigler on our feedback show and with Stephen Fishback live on FanCred on the FanCred app. Go to FanCred.com to download that and check it out and call us in live on Thursday. Congratulations, Chris Underwood. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.